Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. That is the text line. That's how you communicate with the program. Coming up here in about 30 minutes, our friend Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response to the Jeff Poor Show. Really eager to hear from him about Bobby Singleton and what his thoughts are. A new direction for the Democratic Party. Will we see friction between the sort of old hardline party establishment and this new leadership? Is there any hope for Alabama Democrats? Is there anything for Republicans to be worried about? Those are the probing questions we'll ask here in about 30 minutes with former Congressman Griffith, the official Democrat response on the program. Also, Dick Brubaker, generally a favorite of the audience. Today, the 2nd Congressional District, in addition to the 1st, 6th, and 7th, are having their elections. We'll talk to him about some of the elections around the state today, special elections. And, you know, it's a whole new ball game here as we approach November. And well, there's never any shortage of topics for Senator Brubaker in this program. So I just look forward to those conversations. And then finally, even though y'all didn't get him last week as a fill-in host, for whatever reason, I don't know, but he will be with us. He is our Tuesday regular from P2 Public Affairs. Will Hampson will join us. So we'll talk about some national politics. There's a lot of elections today. I think there's 6 states are having elections, including Alabama, but I think one of them, South Carolina, to determine who the Republican U.S. Senate nominee is. And he knows that state pretty well, having worked for Nancy Mace. I think he holds the record as a staffer. She does. She really plowed through staffers. You go to work for her for a few months, and then you tap out. I think he lasted almost 2 years. Anyway, we'll talk to him about South Carolina and the other states that are having their elections today. I guess a lot of it is some of these states, these so-called DSA, Democrat Socialist of America candidates. And if they will, defeat the establishment, moderate, mainstream, whatever you want to call them, candidates. Meantime, you want to text the program once again, 251-343-0106. It is election day, as I just mentioned. Jerry Carl, Austin Sidwell. Also, the one I think that's going to be very interesting is the second congressional district, which is Montgomery, parts of Elmore County South, all the way to the Alabama-Florida line there in the Wiregrass. Primarily, it's a crowded field. There's no runoff. So today, when you go vote, I mean, you don't get another shot at it. It's over until November 3rd. This will be the Republican nominee on the ballot. And there's just a lot of, you know, we've had to learn the hard way on this program and other programs, but sometimes the Twitter is not real life. But there's a lot of online chatter about Rep. Marcus, who I think is the front runner here. But there's more opposition here than I would have expected. So there's Hampton Harris, who appears to be the primary opponent, Dave Matthews, who was thought to be somebody who would have generated some enthusiasm. Josh McKee, who was running in the first congressional district, determined that he was gaining in popularity over there in the second. We'll see how he does. And then a couple others. Let's see, James Richardson. And Chris Horn, old buddy from Huntsville. Also in the first, there's also some other candidates that will be on the ballot, Lucas Berger and John Mills. John Mills, who I got to know during the first go-around. Also, the 6th Congressional District, our friend Gary Palmer and Case Dixon are facing one another. And you'll want to watch the 7th. A Republican will be on the ballot against Terry Sewell. This will probably be more of a get acquainted with the electorate election for those Republicans, because I do think either in 28 or certainly in 2030, you could be looking at different congressional maps. And I do think at some point, eventually, they will attempt to draw out Terry Sewell's district and make it a Republican district. There'll be pressure from Washington primarily, which tends to have a little more sway over the legislature. Right now, there's a real reluctance to go through all this again, face all the court challenges. Why not start with a new census? I think it's the conventional wisdom there. But, there's also the possibility that you could have these very thin margins in Congress, and every vote's going to count. And they will want a Republican in that seat if at all possible. This will be a pickup. It should be, if things go according to plan, Shamari figures should lose to whoever the Republican is. But I'm telling you, that's not a guaranteed. They're going to have to campaign. It won't be like it will in the other districts in Alabama where it's sort of baked in and we know how those are going to go. You'll have an incumbent Democrat, and you'll have a heightened Democrat enthusiasm in the general election. I do believe there's just a national sentiment, and it's always like this historically. You remember back in the very beginnings of the Trump administration, beginning of 2025, and how awesome Doge was, and the border was getting shut down, and all these things done in the first 100 days that were showing tangible results. And I remember like talking to people about, you know, like, hey, we could keep Congress in the midterm. Things are going so awesome. And it's just not. Historically, it just doesn't happen. It just takes time to media chip away. And probably the biggest thing is the so-called affordability crisis. Primarily, all of a sudden, gas prices are higher. And, you know, we've had this discussion 100 times on this radio show. It's Iran war, and the merits of the Iran war is paying more in gas. We're worth doing what we needed to do with that threat. Some of you say yes, some of you say no. But this is, I believe, it doesn't matter what I believe about the Iran exercise. I believe most Americans are going to look at it and say no. I don't care what happens in Iran. I just want my $3 a gallon gas back. Whatever it takes. This has been the crawl on CNN for like the last 6 months now. And they got the price at the start of the war versus the current price. And they just are hammering that point home. And I would do it too. I mean, I think we did do it during the 24 cycle. Look at what happened under Biden. Price of crude, West Texas Intermediate, $82 a barrel. So seems a little high. But that's probably where it's going to hang out. It'll spike at times and it'll drop at times, based on the news, but I think it's kind of found its plateau. And that's what gas prices are going to be. $4 a gallon, which are not, that's not great, but it's not the $5, somewhere in between. But we're on the petrodollar. We can ramp up our domestic production, but you know what'll happen? It'll go to the highest bidder. The highest bidder sometimes is in the Far East. And that's what drives up the price. We can produce a lot more, certainly. But if you could get a lot more for it abroad, where are you going to, I mean, you know, shipping costs and all of that. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. Also, I mentioned South Carolina. I think it's Wisconsin gubernatorial race. Francesca Hong is one to watch. She said some crazy things. I've never realized what a influencer Hassan Piker is. How many of you listen to or are familiar with Piker? Apparently, he is kind of like the Joe Rogan for the progressive left or something. I don't know. I am very unfamiliar with this programming, with this platform, as they call it. I don't know. If maybe there's something to that. That's where the spark that ignites the progressive populism flames begins. It's funny that all we hear about, like we hear about like the Nick Fuentes's and et cetera, and he doesn't really have that much sway when it comes to electoral politics. But I do think the progressive left is really, apparently, maybe I need to pay more attention to it. It's just there's so much in the world. And this guy who is kind of a flamethrower on the left, the progressive left, just isn't on my radar. There's so many of them out there, aren't there? What do we think of yesterday changing the vaccination schedule? Democrats are very animated about this. The media, how dare Trump? He's not a doctor. And it's just all these vaccines they give at an early age. And Trump makes, this is what I'm seeing in right now, Trump makes several false and misleading claims about childhood vaccines. I don't think all these vaccines are as safe as they claim them to be, just based on my personal experience. We had our very first, we had an emergency room episode because of the vaccines. And I know it's not like it was a very unusual thing that had happened with the rotavirus vaccine, but it's like this one-size-fits-all medicine, and every human being is different. I think it's absolutely fair to be skeptical of the vaccine schedule, but I don't know. It's an institutional thing. Maybe we need to do some more homework on it or something rather than just accepting whatever the authorities tell us. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Birmingham. Ooh, Montgomery. Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the program, and we will We'll respond to whatever it is that might be on your mind. Coming up in the next segment, we'll hear from Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Pooler Show. So please make sure you stick around for that. Let's see here. Paul, you know who pays to grease the tracks? Pfizer. You know who loves vaccines? Pfizer. Yeah. But there's also this Trump's wrong about everything thing that's fueling this too. Trump's for it, so we must be against it. So they lose their credibility, but you know, there's probably something to that. Now, when Trump made Robert Kennedy the Health and Human Services Secretary, you look at Kennedy over the last 20 years. I mean, he's always been a skeptic of vaccines. The preservatives in them containing mercury, was thimerosal? And the mercury being the very small dose, but being behind like an autism, an elevated risk of autism. There have always been this like very aggressive public relations campaign that's just kooky, crazy stuff. But listen, I do think these vaccines are, like I said, one size fits all medicine. There's no way to create a vaccine that's tailor-made for every human being. But I do think it ought to come with some warnings. Mike, let's see. What did you think about Fauci's text admitting that the COVID jab calls miscarriages? Very interesting. I don't know why this was concealed from the public. But everybody had to have it. The COVID episode is the best case, best textbook case of like, you know, we have to get everybody to do this one thing. We'll just tell them it's safe. We don't know. But what it's done long term is just created a deep mistrust of the whole system. And they could say, well, you know, the vaccine deniers, they're rubes, they're mouth breathers. They don't know what they're talking about. I listen to Ben Shapiro every day, and his entire program is raining against Piker and the DSA people. So that's the only way I know of them. It's like a podcast version of Fox News. Yeah, there's no this guy gets more attention from the conservative media that cover him, I think. But I don't know. Named Texter, I just voted. It was a disgrace. I was the only person there voting. A person that was leaving, I was told, told me a poll worker told them they were the only person to expect a 5% turnout. We can get upset as much as we want. But we didn't used to have this many elections in America or, you know, even in Alabama. You would go down to vote a couple of times a year. Now it's like four or five times a year. You get the primary runoff, the general election. So there's at least three, and then you throw in a special election or two. And this is what you get. I just think there's an election fatigue. Some of it's kind of fueled by the industry, if you will, that the industry, what I say is, you know, all these consultants and everybody's looking for the next meal ticket. Let's see. I don't know where you're paying $4 a gallon. That everywhere in Ball County is like $3.60 something. Where are y'all getting $4 gas? Circle K is $3.33. $4 is the national average. So some places in America it's like $5. So it kind of balances out. I'm referring to it as a national thing, not here in Alabama. Joe, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. At the Florabama.
I fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line if you need to be in touch with the show. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Let us know what's on your mind. So to come, former state senator Dick Brubaker. That's in about an hour. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, my good friend Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs with a lot of elections today. We'll talk to him. But joining us now, he is the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poor Show. We're always pleased to have him on. Former Congressman Parker Griffith. Congressman, how are you?
Jeff, we're doing great up here in the North Country. Bright, sunshiny day, heat advisory. We're looking forward to some cooler temperatures, but I don't think it's on the horizon just yet. We have some good news out of the Democratic Party. They got rid of Joe Reed and Kelly. And Bobby Singleton, longtime state senator, is now the chair of the party. And so we'll see what he can do with it. He's a good guy. He's a very savvy guy. And he's functioned well in the Senate with both Democrats and Republicans. He knows how to say things. And so I'm hoping that we can have a two-party system in the future. Right now, it's a one-party, and it's the Republican Party.
Well, this is why I asked you to come on today, because I was very interested in your thoughts on it. I don't think Joe Reed's going away. And I know that, like, my sense of things, that Joe Reed and Bobby Singleton have kind of coexisted. You know, he does his thing. Now I just think they're headed for a collision course.
They are, because the money that Joe Reed has been handing out, and that's basically where his loyalty comes from, is from the checkbook. That money is not going to go to the Democratic Party from the National Party, and Bobby Singleton will be in charge of that. And no longer will Joe Reed have that in his checking account. So I think that'll be a significant change. And the vote was like 160 to 52. So it was a significant slap in the face for Reed. And Kelly's just, I bet you he's the sweetest guy in the world, but he got left out on the DNA, but, so he's no longer a factor. And we've got some pretty good people in the party right now that kind of understand why they're a minority party. And hopefully they can avoid adopting some of the national stuff that's going on.
Well, let's hone in on Senator Singleton, you know, and we tried this with Chris England, and really the problem was, and just to kind of talk to the Democrats down here, you're more plugged into that world than I am. It felt like Doug Jones and National Democrats came in and tried to hijack the whole apparatus. They felt like they didn't really have a say. There's still some loyalty, some fidelity to Joe Reed for whatever reason. I don't know.
But the,
and it just kind of felt like, hey, and a lot of the finger point was at Doug Jones. And I mean, this time feels different, but I still think that like Reed is a presence, a factor. You want to win an election in Alabama as a Democrat. A lot of times you got to go kiss that ring. I think that's why Shamari figures as a congressman. He went over the ADC. It's still out there, and it's still going to be trying to raise money, but it's going to be like a direct conflict with the Democratic Party. It's going to be fascinating because I don't think that Singleton's the type who will back down to a Joe Reed.
Oh, no, he won't. And Joe Reed has lost a lot of credibility in this last election. He basically sat there and watched his influence die. They got rid of Kelly. Basically, they got rid of Reed at the same time. I think the party now is going to move past Reed because there's no loyalty to Reed. I think he's in his mid-80s, and he's not the future of the party. And Bobby Singleton is a good guy. Now, that being said, he's a Democrat in Alabama. Now, everybody says that's a negative, and it is. But I think it's also a negative, or becoming a negative, to back Tuberville, because Tuberville has nothing to offer other than the fact that he's in love with Trump. And I saw a picture this morning of Donald Trump and RFK Jr., two trust fund babies making decisions about health care that they absolutely know nothing about. And it puts mothers and children in danger. It sends a message that the management of the country is not in good hands. And I think the next guy to go is going to be Hedgepath. I think he's on a slippery slope out of here because Trump is not going to take responsibility for any decisions he's made. He's going to blame it on somebody else and find a scapegoat. But he can't get rid of that damn Iran business. Front page of the Wall Street Journal, Iran has got Trump right where they want him. And they're now in charge. The Iranians are in charge. Once we killed the Ayatollah, well, guess who took his place? The Ayatollah's son. And he is a hard ass, hard line. And he surrounded himself with hard line people. And this inflation at the grocery store and at the gas pump, at the cost of raising a family, et cetera, et cetera, I think it's going to impact elections. I think there's a good chance that that the Democrats could take the House back.
Well, I agree. I do. Democrats have a good hand with the affordability, particularly gas prices, and maybe not in Alabama. Let's go back real quick to RFK Jr. and the changes to the vaccine schedule. And this is like kind of blowing up today in national news. But I mean, you have some expertise in the science of medicine. We've had our problems with vaccines, and we tried to like be good parents, listen to the doctors, and our oldest had a really bad reaction to one of the vaccines on the schedule. He had spent the night in the emergency room, and it was terrifying to his mother.
No kidding.
So it's like, I get it. I know, but it's just not the case for every child, and these vaccines do a lot of good things. But, like, there's something in me that kind of bothers me that we have to accept what they tell us. There's no room for skepticism that you need to do this. And you do it in good faith, and then something happens. And I know this is very anecdotal, but I think there ought to be at least an evaluation here, because this one-size-fits-all medicine mandated by the federal government kind of bothers me.
Yeah, I think there's always that concern, but when you look at the overall picture of the millions and millions of people who have received the vaccines, and the good that it's done, it is very disconcerting to have a vaccine reaction. But the changes that they're making are going to require the children to have multiple shots instead of one shot. We're facing a measles outbreak. I know what you're saying.
Well, if you get vaccinated for measles, and look, if you want to send your kid to school and they say you got to have this vaccine, then so be it. Either that or you'll find a new school. But if you get vaccinated against measles, then you should be okay. it's the parents who choose not to vaccinate, and I, you know, I don't know why you wouldn't, but I think that they should have some say, and they're going to be the ones vulnerable to measles, not the kids who got vaccinated. So, like, you know, there's a part of this that's very, you know, like we're taking a lot of power away from parents, and that bothers me.
Well, it's hard to manage a country, or it's hard to manage millions of people on an individual basis. So you try to make decisions that are best for everyone, the majority of everyone, but there are going to be exceptions. Like, this is a little bit of a similar thing. I took my dog to the vet. Well, he's got about five things he wants to do, and one of them is a mandated rabies shot. Well, my dog doesn't get out of the house or the backyard, and he's 14 years old. I said, what in the hell is he getting a rabies shot for? He's not around any other animals. And the guy says, it's mandated. It's the law. I said, oh, my God, I didn't realize that. So when you're trying to manage a great number of people, you've got to make decisions, and one size never fits all. I mean, that's one of the problems we got with Congress making rules and regs. It leaves some people out. It damages some people, but hopefully the majority is benefits from it. But I know it's terrifying. I mean, I've been there, and I've been responsible. When I first started, some of the chemotherapy we were using, holy smokes, I think it did more harm than good. Of course, we didn't know that until we did some studies, but that happens in medicine. It's going to happen, but we're making progress, major progress.
Well, do you think this, and you know this, some of the, you know, not, I'm not going to say completely or totally, but some of these vaccine manufacturers, some of these pharmaceutical companies, they have a PR apparatus. They want these one-size-fits-all solutions because it benefits their bottom line, and I think that muddies the water sometimes.
Oh, no, listen, let me tell you. Affordable Care Act, it benefits the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies. We could have done a lot better on health care reform, and we've still got a lot we need to do. Part of the Affordable Care Act was so influenced by insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies. It's just how America works. I mean, if you don't have the right lobbyist and the right and a good checkbook, your influence is not what it could be. The lobbyists pretty much run the Congress and run the Senate. And I'm amused at Trump attacking Thune. Now Thune's a good guy, and he's a good majority leader there in the Senate. And Trump's not happy with him, and he's trashing him. Well, what Trump needs to realize is that Mitch McConnell is going to limp back in there, and he's going to be a lame duck. And a senator from Louisiana is a lame duck. And there's a person in Alaska that is not a fan of Trump's. And there's several other senators that Trump has been nasty to. And, you know, you got to be careful on your way up. And you stepped on everybody going up. Coming down, they're not going to forget that. So Trump has run into a headwind. And he's a lame duck. So Trump is going into the end. He's an old man, and he's dead wood at the top of a tree, and he's dangerous there. You know, why would he start a war with Iran? Well, he didn't. He won't wanted to, he wanted to be John Wayne, I guess. But now the Iranians have got him, and that means they've got us. And we got to figure out a way to get out of that. And Trump's ego is not gonna allow it. So he's gonna probably fire Hedgepath, and Hedgepath's gonna fire some more generals.
So, the Iran thing, it went from like let's stop them from getting a nuclear weapon to now we got to stop them from taking pot shots in the Strait of Hormuz.
Exactly, or some other countries. Those drones just blew up a huge refinery in Russia from Ukraine. So this drone warfare is in its infancy, and it gets more lethal and better each day that passes. We're tickled about it up here in Huntsville. I mean, we're building drones 24/7.
You're right about this, and I don't think today, I think, and I get calls about this off air all the time that they had looked at Iran and they had game planned it and they knew what was going to happen, but I don't think they saw the political fallout coming. Yeah, sure, gas prices are going to go up, but if you're really for this Iran excursion, then you need Republicans to keep control of Capitol Hill. Well, that may be coming to an end because of it. And, you got to take that into calculation here. And I don't think that they did.
I don't think they did either. I don't think Trump knows how to manage anything. I think he's dictatorial. And if you don't do what he says, he'll either fire you, trash you, or get somebody to run against you. But he's not a good manager. And I think the chickens are coming home to roost, so to speak.
Maybe so. Hey, I hate to do this. I got to cut you off here, but we're out of time. Appreciate you hopping on, and we'll do it again soon.
Okay, take care.
That was former Congressman Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response to the Jeff Poor Show. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
He asked me how I bought it. I told him on credit. Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said some things just glitter and shine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Still to come on the program, Dick Brubaker will be with us. So that's in the 10 o'clock hour. Then 11 o'clock hour, Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs will be with us. So please make sure you stick around for that. It's a few texts to get to here. My name texter says nuke Iran. Let's see. This was sent to me at 9:15. 55 vote count at Daphne Civic Center. Seems very low. My name texter, they can withdraw the districts, continue with a so-called majority Republican state and spend like a bunch of Democrats. But we're talking about Congress. Which Congress does spend like a bunch of Democrats. But the point is, I guess you're referring to the state legislature. I don't know. Maybe some clarity on that one. Leah, 20 votes at the West Mobile Independent Living Center so far. Let's see. So there you go. Let's see what else we got here. Dave writes, "Against advertisement over the weekend on Yahoo." It's the state of Alabama Agriculture Department looking for peanut inspectors. Only the picture shows weed. Maybe it's AI generated. And they're just throwing a bunch of money at something and it's generated. And the weed is meant to get your attention. Unnamed texture, $3.19 in Loxley just there and filled up. Yeah, so when I said $4 a gallon, that's the national average. And that average is pushed up by some of these blue states. and just these ridiculous gasoline taxes they have. Rick, Jeff, I'm in Washington, D.C., but see my son for a few days. Paid $5.59 a gallon in McLean. Valet parking at the Hyatt Regency was $49 a damn night. And add $10 for the retrieval of my car the day of to the driver. Yeah, I never stay in the district if I could all avoid it. And I, you know, having lived up there, when we do visit, I kind of know the metro system, or I can, you know, you could pay for an Uber at $50 a night. And I stay in Virginia where the parking is not quite as expensive or cost prohibitive. Also, it's just where I used to live. Gas doesn't cause everything to go up. Diesel does. I just had to pay $5.15